Here we are. This is Real World Radio on air. 3w.realworldradio.fm.
Australia, state of Victoria, one step away from banning fracking for good. All is set for the Victoria Upper House to pass a bill to ban fracking, hydraulic fracturing, in 15 days. The bill was passed in the lower house on February the 8th with the approval of the parties with most representatives. This was a landmark achievement. Victoria, located in the south of Australia, with Melbourne as its capital city, is slated to become the first state in the country to ban fracking. The ban includes the inability to explore and exploit unconventional gas in general, while it establishes a moratorium to onshore conventional gas exploration until 2020.
Yeah, so this was a very exciting week for us. I'm from a state called Victoria, which is in the south of Australia. Our capital city is Melbourne. It's one of the better known Australian cities. And we have managed to, last week, get a ban on fracking and on all exploration for onshore gas through our lower house of parliament. It's very historic. First of all, because it's the first permanent ban on fracking and onshore gas extraction in Australia, and every state in Australia is covered for exploration licenses for unconventional gas and fracking at the moment. So it's the first ban in Australia, and it was also historic because it managed to pass with bipartisan support. So both our left-wing party, the Labor Party in Australia, put up the bill. They're the current government, and the opposition, the Conservative opposition, also supported the bill, and the vote went through the lower house with no dissent from any of the major parties or the independents, which is just fantastic news for the communities here who've been fighting so hard for this ban on fracking.
Chloe, this is great news, as you were saying. I wanted to ask you, what should happen now to finally have this fracking ban bill operational?
So there's just one more step in the legislative process here in Victoria. It has to go through our upper house, kind of our equivalent of the Senate, the Legislative Council. And that vote will be in a couple of weeks' time, and we're really hoping that it passes without any amendments. We have a strong indication from most of the parties, both the major parties and the independent and small parties, that they're going to vote to put this, to finally legislate this ban. And that happens in the next few weeks. And then everybody in the community can have a big sigh of relief, because this legislation will finally be official.
Okay, Chloe, what would you say that are the most important challenges in those few weeks before this new and final vote?
We just have to make sure that all of the minor parties are going to support this legislation right through to the end. And we also, we're very confident that fracking will be banned forever in Victoria. The community also wants an extension of a moratorium on all onshore drilling, because we're worried that if the industry do any kind of exploration drilling onshore for gas, they'll then try to use that to lobby for fracking in the future. So one part of the legislation that we're really trying to push is a ban on every kind of onshore drilling, and the community is going to be working very hard to hold these politicians to account. Throughout the whole process, they've said that they will respect the community's decision and will ban all forms of onshore gas mining, and we're just going to have to work hard to hold them to account for these last couple of weeks.
Chloe, do you know of any kind of precedents in maybe in other countries about bans on fracking?
Yes, there are a few precedents around the world. Probably the most famous has been the one in New York State. But we are actually very proud here in Victoria, because I think that our ban is one of the most robust in the world, because it does take into account all other forms of onshore drilling, not just the hydraulic fracturing process. And we really hope that the government has has made many statements saying that not allowing fracking is in the interests of our agricultural community in the long term, and it's necessary for us to maintain our clean and green image for agriculture. And we really hope that it can be used as a precedent for other states and jurisdictions around the world to be calling for their own robust permanent bans.
It's very important what you were saying, Chloe, because in several countries all around the world, for example, we as Real World Radio are based in Uruguay, and fracking is one of the technologies that our government is exploring about the possible use of that, and it's happening the same thing in lots of countries all around the world. So I would like to ask you maybe to strengthen a bit more or underline a bit more which were the most important explanations made by the political sectors to ban fracking or to vote about this ban on fracking.
I think that the main defences that the government brought that described in their rationale for banning fracking here was really that we have to protect what we already have in our communities, that our clean air and clean water and our uninterrupted agriculture and agricultural economy was far too important to put at risk as a result of fracking and unconventional gas, and that unconventional gas poses risks not just to the land and the water, which are obviously integral for us to produce clean food for people, but that the nature of the industry, having wells every 500 metres to a kilometre apart, could really interrupt the way that agriculture functioned in our state. Farmers, if they had that infrastructure in place, were going to find it very difficult to grow food. And it was also important that this was a big reputational risk for us in Victoria. We have a big export economy for our food around Australia into the world. And it was really important that we maintained the image that we have, and that fracking could really hurt our agricultural export industry if it was conceived by other people that there was that contamination risk. I think the other really important point was that this was basically a democratic issue. We had an absolutely amazing social movement that erupted in Victoria on this issue, and indeed around Australia on this issue, and communities had taken back the jurisdiction. They had run this amazing grassroots democratic process where every single person in the community had a say on whether or not they wanted fracking and gas fields in their community. And every single time, the community came back with 95%+ of people saying they didn't want it to happen here. And it really turned it into a campaign on whether or not communities have control over the development in their area. And as an absolutely basic democratic issue, the government could not go against the will of these communities in favour of the fossil fuel industry. And I think that's another thing that we've heard from this government as well, is that regardless of whatever contention the fossil fuel industry tries to bring about the science of the issue, these communities have assessed the science and they have said that they're not willing to take the risk in the interests of a few multinational corporations making all the profit. And us proving that the industry didn't have social license, proving that there was comprehensive opposition in the community from everybody of every political inclination in our communities, meant that they just couldn't go forward with it. And we're incredibly proud as a social movement that we managed to create that kind of political power.
Yeah, Chloe, and it's really close to be a major victory for Victoria, for the people mobilized, as you were saying. And I would like to ask you in that sense, Chloe, when did this campaign, this social fight by the movements there, when did it born? What was done to really make possible this major victory that you are about to get there in Victoria and in Australia?
In Victoria, the fight happened for us about 5 years ago. The government began issuing licences for the exploration of unconventional gas and fracking. And we, I think, were in a privileged position in that we had began to see the problems they were having in America. We began to see the problems they were having in the north of Australia with fracking. And we were also beginning to see how the resistance movement was building elsewhere. And we used, I think the thing that has made the movement so incredibly successful here is that it has been an amazing coming together of environmentalists and more conservative rural communities. And I think both sides of that equation have had to put aside pride, have had to put aside our differences on other issues. And we came together and said, look, we both agree that we want to protect land, we want to protect water, and we want to protect the things that we have for future generations. And I mean, I'm a climate activist, so I also had climate change motivations that I was coming into this with. I'm an environmentalist. I was also worried about the impacts on ecology and so on. But we stuck to those things that we agreed with, and we forged a very strong alliance of both people from the environmental left and more conservative communities, and we worked together to really transform the way that democracy worked in our communities to push back on the power of the fossil fuel industry. And I know that through that process I learned so much as an environmental activist, and I know that we also came into it with a whole heap of tools for environmental campaigning and campaigning against development projects that these rural communities had never been exposed to before. So it was an amazing exchange that we created, and it also meant that we could create the kind of political power we needed to win here. And I really think that that's been the amazing thing that we've learned.
It's really nice, the analyzing that you are doing regarding this, Chloe, because as we were saying before, this can really be set a precedent and an example for other communities and other countries in different parts of the world. Before we end the interview, Chloe, I would like to ask you what do you think was the special role played by Friends of Yes Australia in these alliances?
So I was employed to coordinate one half of the state, and my colleague Ursula at Friends of the Earth was employed to coordinate the other. And we did our best to relay all of the skills and knowledge that we've built over our careers as climate and environmental activists. And I think, and Friends of the Earth created an entire support network and also facilitated this new, incredibly decentralized and amazing way of building a social movement and building power, and also played an important role in the knowledge that we had of state politics and how things operated at that parliamentary level. And I think that, it's been really amazing to have this experience of working so closely with so many rural communities, and I really hope that Friends of the Earth can continue to work in these areas to work for environmental justice on all of the new emerging fronts.
Okay, Chloe, would you like to add anything else, maybe something that I didn't ask you about and you think it's important to say before we end the interview?
Look, we really hope that both the outcome, both the ban that we've managed to create and the way that we did it, the process that we went through in order to build that political power, can be an inspiration to people around the world who are fighting unconventional mining and fracking. And look, the people of Victoria have worked so hard for this outcome, and now we get sometimes accused of saying that, we're saying not in my backyard, but actually I think that through this process everybody's understood that we don't want fracking in Victoria, we don't want fracking in Australia, and we don't want fracking across the world, and we're willing to do whatever we can to support other communities who are fighting this fight. So I really hope that we can be a source of inspiration but also a huge source of support for the movement across the world against fracking and unconventional gas.
Okay, it was Chloe Aldenhoven, coal and gas community campaigner for Friends of the Earth Australia. Chloe, thanks a lot for being in Real World Radio.
Thank you, Jose.
Real World Radio, broadcasting free words, building popular communications by FOI.